Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Hey.
Just a reminder that we're already live and we are recording.
Well, that shut down that conversation.
If everybody be sure and mute themselves, that way we don't get a lot of background noise. Morning, Jim. Morning, Daniel. The new daddy.
Yes, sir.
Hey, congratulations, pal.
Thank you.
Has everybody done a quick check of their microphones and their ability to find the mute and unmute buttons?
Check, check.
Hello, Chief, hello.
Chief Schmidt, you're looking awesome today, pal.
Thanks, brother. I appreciate
how y'all doing.
Appreciate you putting on a long sleeve shirt.
Test, test. We good?
I think Wisco's the one with the echo.
Yeah, unfortunately, I think, Mike, you're in the room with Deb, correct?
Yeah, I'm muted, but somebody's not. So we're gonna fix that. We're working on that around here now.
I would also recommend maybe turning down the volume on whatever you got on streaming back the meeting. And for everyone that's already here, just know that all questions and comments will be read aloud for the public record. So please keep it good.
Good morning, Mandy.
Good morning.
My question.
I don't hear anything.
Nobody's talking. Okay, before we get started really quick, just a reminder, we are already live on Facebook and this is recording. Just remember to mute your mics when you're not speaking. And everything in the Q&A and comments will be going into the public record.
Daniel, we're ready when you are, buddy.
I'm ready, so I don't have a gavel, but We'll call the meeting to order. It's 9 o'clock on June 11th, and this is the Firefighter Advisory Committee meeting. Chief Wisco, I think you have a few ground rules and explanations for everybody.
Yeah, thanks. Let me read through these real quick. Y'all can mute or silence yours in here. No, turn your speaker volume down so it doesn't echo. We'll work through the challenges as we go, but first and most important, as Mandy said, for everybody to know, this meeting is recorded. Everything about this meeting is recorded, including any chat comments, Q&A questions or answers, discussions. So feel free to send chat messages back and forth or to one another, but just know that it's all recorded. Second thing is we are broadcasting this live on Facebook, so the whole world's watching. Everyone is muted. We'll ask you to remain muted unless you need to speak, and then you control your speaker at the bottom left-hand corner. Just make sure you turn it on. If we see you talking and we don't hear you, somebody will speak up and tell you to unmute your mic. During the discussions, as always, the chairman can call for questions. Be sure you unmute, and if there are questions from the audience or from the participants, we suggest you use the Q&A tab at the bottom of the Zoom screen. As those are received and it's time for comment, Mandy will read those, and then you'll be able to hear the discussion and the response, hopefully, to your question. I think that's it. I think I covered it all. So, Mandy, do you want to, at this point, provide a short tutorial of how to do the Q&A?
Sure. Good morning. Thank you, everyone who's joined us today. So really quickly, if you are on a laptop or a mobile device, if you move your cursor around or tap your screen, you should see options for either a Q&A or a chat. either at the bottom or the top of your screen. It just depends on your operating system. We do ask that all questions or any comments that require a response from the committee be asked in the Q&A tab only. Any general comments can be made in the chat. And please, please remember that all questions and comments made publicly will be read aloud for the public record. Okay.
The last thing I have, Chief DeYeer, and then you can get started. We have several chiefs on here this morning who are attending this meeting to get their head of department certification. I would ask that during this meeting, if you are one of those who's working on your head of department, just put a message in the chat box that you are in attendance so we can have that recorded, and that'll help our compliance guys know that indeed you were here. So with that, I'll turn it over to you, Chief DeYeer.
Thank you. And likewise, in the discussions on how to control this meeting, we're going to go a little slower than we normally do. Obviously, it's going to be a challenge to make a motion and for somebody to second it and for that to be recorded properly. So we'll just slow down the tempo a little bit and make sure that we have all our I's dotted and our T's crossed as we go through this. Before we go, if y'all wouldn't mind just giving us a couple seconds of a moment of silence. I know the fire service has been challenged in the United States here for the last few months in these unprecedented times. And I know we've even had losses here in the state of Texas. So if you don't mind, just briefly for the record, we'd like to observe a moment of silence in honor of those members who lost their lives with this COVID-19 and serving our community. Okay, thank you. Chief Schmidt, as the secretary, I guess if you'll take roll call for us and make sure we have a quorum and we have everybody on here that needs to be on here.
Yes, sir, absolutely. So I guess on my screen, we'll start with Jason Collier. See him, Daniel Buford, Vince Abrigado.
Present.
Daniel Anderson, Ken Swindell, Jim Reedy, and Daniel DeYeer. And I don't know, I guess Chief Wisco is off, obviously on as well, but. And.
Don't count anymore.
Yeah, he's not on the committee anymore.
He doesn't count.
He doesn't count over here. Okay. Having said that, I know we haven't met since December, and this is the first meeting of any sort for the commission here in quite some time. So I want to personally recognize Chief Wisco. I know you've stepped on to a bigger position, and you're already making a lot of significant changes in the commission. So we appreciate it, but we thank you for your service on the advisory committee for gosh knows how long, 20 something years, but we're glad that you're still with us in the commission serving as the executive director. So item number two, Chief Schmidt, if you'll read it for the record.
Yes, sir, election of officers.
Okay, so there is a vacancy created for the chair with the absence of Chief Wisco. Does anybody have a motion for nominations for the chair?
Daniel, I think this, since we haven't met since December, this is our annual voting in of all the members, all the officers, I think. So we have to do all of them. Is that right, Wisco?
Yes, sir. That's correct. We need to do them all.
Okay. I make a motion that for Daniel DeYeer, for chairman of the committee.
A second.
I'll second that.
Okay, guys, when you say I'll second that, if you'll say your name when you do it, just so that everybody that's listening can hear who actually made that.
This is Jason. I'll second it.
Okay. Jason Collier, you've got the second. Anybody else? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay, thank you. I'm honored to take that position. That now creates the position in the assistant chair or vice chair, if you will. I'll entertain any motions at this time for that position.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to motion that Daniel Deere be the vice chairman of the Firefighter Advisory Committee.
I don't think I can do both.
I know. Daniel Deere, or Daniel Buford, I'm sorry. It's early. Buford.
I'll second that motion. That was Vince.
Okay, anybody else? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye. Aye as well.
Okay, and I guess the last position then is the secretary.
I'll nominate Keith to keep the position.
I second.
Jason and Keith Swindle.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
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 Aye as well.
Okay, so we have the board in place for 2020. Chief Smith, if you'll continue with our agenda then.
Yes, sir. Item number 3, adoption of December 4, 2019 Firefighter Advisory Committee meeting minutes.
I'll entertain a motion to approve those minutes. Does anybody have any questions or amendments or notations? I know it's been quite some time since we met last.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to approve those minutes.
I'll second it. Or Daniel or Keith, either one second it.
Okay.
You ready for item number 4 then? Chief, or do we need to? Oh, yeah, I guess we need to vote on that. Yeah, we need to vote on the minutes.
Which one? Yeah, go ahead. No, go ahead. Oh, minutes from the December 2019 meeting. Say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay. Motion moved forward. Go ahead, Chief.
Yes, sir. Chief, on item number 4, do you want to go ahead and just go through or do you want to break it out, the A, B, C, and D, do those individually, or just go ahead and do the whole item? Guess just read the whole thing.
Chief Wisco, what is your staff prepared to do for that?
I think it's okay to read the entire agenda item, but we're going to have to vote on each one individually. So we can read them all on the record now, and that way the discussion can work all the way around, but when we start to vote, we'll have to do each one individually.
Understood. Okay, report item number 4, report from the Curriculum and Testing Committee regarding possible changes to the certification curriculum manual as follows. Item A, basic fire suppression curriculum. Item B, hazardous materials curriculum. Item C, fire instructor curriculum. Item D, new incident commander curriculum. And item E is incident safety officer reference list.
Okay, so we'll start with the basic fire suppression curriculum. Chief Wisco, does staff have any comments or presentations for us? Chief Wisco, are you there? You're muted if you are.
I am here. I'm sorry. We were working out an issue here. Was there a question for me? I'm sorry.
Yeah, so is your staff going to present any information on the basic fire suppression curriculum? Or
yes, we've got Tara here, and she's ready to go.
Okay. Whenever you're ready, Tara.
Can you guys hear Tara?
No.
Okay. Hold on. I can do a technical glitch here.
All right, can everyone hear me now?
It sounds like you're off in the distance.
Hold on, we're going to let her sit. She's going to sit at my computer and do this. Hers isn't working. So, bye.
Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, we'll start with basic fire suppression. The curriculum manual has been updated to reflect the 2019 updates to NFPA 1001. The committee is continuing to work to finish the skills manual. The expected effective date will be January 1 of 2021.
Okay. Does the committee have any questions?
Let's see. I raise my hand now. How do you raise your hand in here? Oh, Chief, I have a question, or Mr. Chairman, I have a question. I looked over, God help me, I looked over all of them last night, and one thing that I didn't notice, and I might have missed it, is there more of focused attention to the firefighters' personal protective equipment, i.e. bunker gear, boots, and the proper use and maintenance and capabilities of it in there? I didn't see that. And with the accent on cleaning and contamination and personal, you know, cleaning and such, I didn't see anything like that in there. And regardless of whether NFPA mandates fair or not in their basic fire curriculum, we can go above that a little bit. But I didn't see that in there. So if I missed it, I apologize for asking. All that red was kind of blending together after a while. But is there anything like that in there?
I personally do not recall seeing that. Did anybody else? You may be correct, Jim. I'm not hearing anybody else say that they saw it in there.
And so from my perspective, especially with the change in the fire dynamics on the fire ground in general, both before, during, and after the fire, I think that we should emphasize that or make a focused lesson in rather than a general statement by whoever the instructor is.
Okay, Cliff is saying if you'll go down to 101-4, there's some discussion there.
Okay, so and we would have to have that on the screen somehow, maybe?
Well, it's in the agenda in the workbook.
Okay, so can we, yeah, I mean,
we can share, we should be able to share that online. Is that correct, Chief Wisco?
That's gonna take a minute. Everybody should have the notebook if they can get it in front of them there. I can give you the page number. It's under page 29. It's under chapter one of fire suppression. We've got it on the big screen here in front of us, but I don't have it anywhere that I can share it with you. That's
just going to take me a second to get it.
Yeah.
On the.
Page 29, and then the top of page 30 is where it's all discussed. It's 101 dash 5.1.2.
Okay.
Basically, what we're seeing is on the care and maintenance of it, basic inspection, they only refer to those four items in regards to care and maintenance. It's not, I guess, as Mr. Reedy was saying, it's not focused on any particular area, but just talks about those inspections.
That's down. Go, Deb.
Do you see it, Jim?
I'm sorry. I'm having trouble pulling up the commission. I'm having trouble pulling up the commission webpage. I guess this gazillion dollar map won't do two things at the same time. So. But unless you guys put, I'll take it on faith that if anybody's looking at it, so.
Well, so there's a whole section. If you go to page 30, that with the next page over, talks about B talks about donning, C is donning and preparing for reuse, D gets into the care and maintenance piece, and then what follows is it starts talking about hoisting tools and equipment. So the PPE part is really in four sections of it.
So that the as I understand from the training academy where we're at, they'll do the donning and the doffing because it's time, and the rest of it is a very generalized discussion. I'm sorry for echoing them.
Yeah, you know, we're going to mute here.
It does say on page 29, if you reference 101.2 under general skill requirements, it's in red, perform field reduction of contaminants.
So my point is that maybe we want to do a focused lesson in there that's rather than leaving it up to anybody's interpretation in the different schools, some kind of a focused lesson in there. And it's not a criticism. It's just, I know how from one school to the next or one place to one department to the next, things are interpreted differently. We already know that through cleaning inspection. So it's more of a observation and a comment. That's all. Based on the way things are going and how our profession's going, I just think it needs to be something a little more detailed and focused in there. Because I know they grind on that donning and doffing, and you got to do it in so many seconds and this and that. But the capabilities of the gear, TPP, THL, you know, the whole thing, that would be my comment. And it's really just a comment, but.
All right, Jim. So the challenge there is that we can't add anything like that to the curriculum because you can't tie it back to a job performance skill. The best we could do is suggest to the academies that they elaborate on that, but that would be strictly up to them because there's no way in the curriculum to add that without the job performance skill.
So 1851 is a requirement in this state. So anything that has to do with that, I would think we can tie back into the curriculum. Not as a general statement, but so that's fine. It's just an observation.
Is there any way that you can tie the general risk assessment back into that where they have to at least acknowledge that's something that's being taught and all the departments in the state of Texas are required to do a risk assessment for PPE?
Hey, it does reference familiarization with NFPA 1851. And I know in the past, in last year, we talked about further on in today's agenda when we get to the assessment of injuries and risk, but we've mentioned it before about we have, you know, Courage to Be Safe. We have the highway safety stuff. Is there some way we can tie in a commission type required class over 1851 for departments to be able to, or for people to just familiarize themselves with NFPA 1851 and the risk?
Well, I think as you've pointed out, Daniel, it's covered under D, care and maintenance, and it's specific. The challenge here is we have to trust that these academies are going to put the emphasis on that is required. But without the job performance skills and having it referenced in any of the reference books, that's the best we can do with it. We can require all this locally through our rules, but we can't monkey with the curriculum without having reference material for it.
You know what? Okay, then that's noted that, and then if we want to do something like that, we'll have to do it through the rules.
That's right. And I mean, that's the way we've handled things like that before. The highway safety, the courage to be safe, those were all additional requirements that we put on everybody. And so we could go that same route. We just have to work that up as a rule proposal and send it forward.
And by the way, very well done by the curriculum and testing committee. That's a very good four documents. God help us. So.
Yeah, y'all did a great job. Great overview.
Can 1851 be added to the reference list?
Well, it should already be there. Okay. It should already be there.
I've got a question real quick. This is Vince. The question I have is that are they looking at the questions in regards to the new curriculum, or are we going to, or is the fire commission using questions from the previous tests, or is the test being made, I guess, to see if it goes with the new curriculum?
Any response?
Sorry, I was muted again. Yes, we are updating those test questions to make sure that they are in to the new standard and that they are in all of the new reference material.
Okay.
This is Jason. I see Pat McAuliffe on here. Can he speak to any of this since that's kind of his area?
I don't believe he can, Chief, but he's referring to page 11, that there was an error in the number of hours. It should be 474 instead of 468. I'm going there right now to take a look.
All attendees are not able to speak. They can only
question
add a chat or, yeah, right, okay. Or do the question and answer.
Okay.
So, Chief McAuliffe is weighing in, referring to the chart that is on page number 11 under Chapter 1, Basic Fire Suppression Curriculum Outlines. And at the bottom of that first box, it has an asterisk. It refers to total recommended hours as 468. He's saying that should be 474. And Chief McAuliffe, if you have a comment, I think you can type your comment into the chat box. Is your suggestion that we make that correction to change 468 to 474 before we approve?
I've just pulled up the chart in question.
Thanks, Amanda.
I'm not seeing an answer or response yet from Chief McAuliffe.
Yeah, so Daniel, we can make that.
He just weighed in.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so that number should be 474. It's 294 hours for Firefighter 1, 140 hours for Firefighter 2, and then there's the 8 hours of awareness plus the 32 hours now, and it's 474.
Yeah, so just we need to remember when we finally make the motion for this, we need to make sure and include that with any other changes that we settle on here so that it's covered on the record.
Okay. All right. I'll entertain a motion if anybody has one.
Hey, Chief, just real quick, this is Vince again, back on the questioning. As far as the questions, who makes the question? Is it the committee makes the question, the staff's making the questions in regards to the updates?
entirety?
Go ahead.
It's a combination of the curriculum staff here.
Yeah, my familiarity with it is a little bit of.
Can you guys hear Tara?
No, we can't.
All right, try it then, Tara.
Okay, it's a little bit of both the curriculum staff here at TCFP and the committee itself.
I'm trying to unmute. I'm gonna try to unmute Pat so he can talk. I just give me a minute to find him on the list here so we can do that. I knew this was a problem and they made me the host. In a minute, I'm going to just wipe this whole thing out.
Okay.
There he is. Okay. Allowed to talk. All right. Pat McAuliffe, you are now allowed to talk. If you want to unmute yourself and speak to any of this, you can. Whether this one or any of the future ones, you're going to be able to speak now.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Can y'all hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, great. So yes, what Tara was saying is 100% correct. Both committee members oftentimes initiate question development as well as staff, but then the whole committee looks at those questions and kind of vet those questions out, and then they go into a pilot series where they're actually asked on exams before they go live. The pilot questions do not count against the test score. We simply get the data off those test results to help us validate and assure the relevance of those test questions.
Does anybody have any other questions for Chief McAuliffe? So Chief McAuliffe, we just need to make that correction, and the rest of the document looks good to you?
Yeah, the rest of the document looks good. We did find that math error, which I've already showed you, but I think we're good to go on basic curriculum. And I believe that's it for comments on basic firefighter curriculum.
Okay. I'll entertain any motions if anybody has one.
I'll make a motion to accept the changes to a curriculum, including the changing of hours to the correct number.
This is Jason. I'll second it.
Okay, thank you, Jason. Okay, all those in favor say aye.
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 Do I have anybody opposed? Okay, the motion carries. Chief Schmidt. Are you still with us, Chief Schmidt?
Sorry, sir. Item B, hazardous materials curriculum. Hit the wrong button.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Hazardous materials curriculum manual to reflect the update to the 2017 edition of the NFPA 1072 with referencing to NFPA 472, the 2018 edition. At this time, the committee is still working on the skills manual and expect an effective date of January 1 of 2021.
Okay, does anybody have any questions or comments? I'll entertain a motion.
This Jason, I'll make a motion to accept the changes to the item B hazardous material curriculum.
This is Keith. I'll second it. That come across. I did a second, Chief Deer.
Okay, all those in favor of approving the hazardous materials curriculum, say aye.
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 Aye. Okay, all those in favor say aye. Does anybody oppose? Okay, motion carried.
Item C, fire instructor curriculum.
Okay, the curriculum and skills manuals have been updated to reflect the 2019 updates to NFPA 1041, and also with an expected effective date of January 1, 2021.
Tara, with respect to the dates that we're using that the curriculum and testing committee proposed, do you foresee any problems with staff with the conditions we're under right now and the way we've been working? Is this still doable?
The consideration of the COVID-19 situation right now, that is the reason why some of these dates have been pushed out to January 20 of 21. Some of them were expected to be finished earlier, but that's the reason why they've been put off to those dates.
Okay. Great. I'll entertain a motion.
I'll second that motion, Vince.
Are you making the motion, Vince?
I'll make a motion to approve that curriculum as presented.
Second, Swindle.
Is there any further discussion? Okay, no. Discussion, all those that are approved, say aye.
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 Aye. Aye.
Does anybody disapprove? Any nays? Okay, motion carries.
Item D, new incident commander curriculum.
This new discipline was discussed and approved by the curriculum and testing committee January 2020 meeting. The curriculum and skill manuals based on the 2018 edition of NFPA 1026, the standard for incident management personnel. This is expected for a date of January 1, 2021 also.
Chief Deere, this is Pat McCall. If I can add a little more information.
Okay, great.
Sure. We addressed this new curriculum for a couple of reasons. Just a reminder to everyone that this is a voluntary, not a mandatory certification. As Tara indicated, it does follow NFPA 1026 standard for incident management personnel qualifications. I think one of the driving factors in the decision to move this forward was we are seeing a lot more interagency response. And I know that some mutual aid agreements, the way that they're written, require that whoever comes into that territory has some command experience or some kind of command qualification, I guess is a better word. And we really don't have anything like that currently. And this NFPA standard 1026 addresses that and helps to provide us a standard for all of the incident commanders to be able to follow. There are other options. Blue card is an option, but hearing comments from those who have been involved in blue card, and some of you on the committee may actually have experience direct, it's an expensive undertaking to try to get your personnel trained up to the blue card level, and it's kind of an ongoing thing. And if I'm not mistaken, I believe the expense is a recurring expense as well. So the committee, after hearing all that, looked at the standard. We came up with a recommendation of a certification of 48 hours. Again, that's recommended for typically a class of 12 students. The textbook, we looked at both IFSTA and Jones and Bartlett. The textbook from IFSTA that we selected and found appropriate for this 1026 was Command and Control, ICS Development and Tactical Selections. Again, that's an IFSTA book. And then the Jones and Bartlett textbook is the National Incident Management System Principles and Practices. So I think it was our intent to at least put something out there that would empower some of the fire departments to develop a recognizable certification that did follow an NFPA standard, and those departments who wish to follow it would have an opportunity to do so with this voluntary certification.
Mr. Chairman, if I can add, we have already started receiving positive comments for this certification, and those will be included in the commissioner's meeting packet for August.
Is there anybody else that's in attendance on this Zoom meeting that wishes to comment? Now would be the time to use that chat button and weigh in if anybody else needs to make a comment.
I have a question. Does this certification require any kind of a minimum of firefighting experience or firefighting certifications?
I don't recall the details, and I don't have 1026 right in front of me, but I would feel very certain that you would have to have at least basic firefighter, perhaps fire officer, but I'm not going to promise you that because I don't have it where I can read it. But like with all the other NFPA standards, there is no time of service duration that's tied to the different professional standards. It's all just kind of stepping stones. I think everyone would agree those people who have more experience tend to be, you know, perhaps better at their job, maybe in some cases not. But as far as having documented experience, NFPA really doesn't require that I'm aware of.
But you think that there's probably a certification requirement in there, basic fire?
Yeah, I would feel certain there would be as a bare minimum basic firefighter. But I apologize, I don't have that standard right here in front of me. I could look it up for you, but I don't, you know, I kind of look at it like a good fire chief is not going to put someone in charge whom they don't think is capable of being in charge. So that's kind of fundamentally where you start. So then you back it up with a certification that says, yes, this person has, you know, been through this training and is familiar with all the ins and outs of incident command system, so on and so forth.
Mr. Chairman, can I add something here?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so Tara's been reviewing the standard here. It does not have anything like that in there. But I want to reemphasize to you guys that as we adopt a rule pertaining to this, just like we have with any other new certification, we can tie whatever we want to into that rule. We can require different certifications be held. So we would certainly need to consider that along with all the standard ones, ARF or Marine or whatever it might be. We can develop that rule to say what we want it to. I can
add some stuff to that. And so, Mr. Pat and group, I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman, I got a comment.
Go ahead, Jim.
My My concern is that in an incident, having a person that has no experience, but they have this certification coming in and taking control of an incident, a firefighting in some fashion incident, wildfire or whatever, without any real experience or certification behind them. And that is potentially an unsafe situation. While I agree with Pat that we'd like to think that nobody would put anybody in charge that didn't have the experience and background to safely run an incident, we also know that's probably happening right now as we speak and will happen in the future.
So let me respond to that. We drafted up rules for implementation of this certification. They're not on your agenda. That's going to come at a later meeting. And those rules follow pretty much what we've done in the past with, and I'll use the term grandfathering, where you have a statement from the fire chief that basically says this person, you know, has the experience, whatever. That's how we have to get things kicked off. And usually that's only done for like a one-year time frame. So we have that there. And we can go back and look to see if there are some additional certification requirements, whatever. I really hesitate in putting numbers of years of service, because that's very debatable. And I get what you're saying. You know, we hope that everyone does everything in good faith, but quite honestly, we can't regulate and we can't mandate every little move that these fire departments make. At some point, they're going to have to take responsibility for their actions. And if their people aren't capable, then that's what needs to happen. They need to be held accountable. The problem is we don't have in our state right now something that says they meet a certain criteria. So to me, that's where we got to start. And then we can work backwards on, you know, how you get there. And if you want some requirement that's a little more stringent than NFPA, let's put it in our certification requirement, not in a curriculum.
And I agree with you, Pat. I mean, the years of experience was just a throw out there, but at a minimum, they should have some kind of certification in firefight.
Agreed. And again, I don't have that document in front of me because it was not on the agenda today. But we'll certainly go back and make sure that's in there. I don't know if Tara has it handy. She may be able to look it up, but it's going to come to you guys at another meeting anyway. So this is not going to be our only chance to talk about the requirements for the certification.
Hey, Chief Deere, can I kind of comment on this stuff?
Yes, sir.
It's not Tara, it's Cliff.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
So, Pat, just to kind of build on your stuff and maybe to answer some of Jim's stuff, the proposed language in the rule is, as at a minimum, to hold this certification, you must be a fire officer too, at a minimum. You also must have documented proof of completion of at least the basic ICS training, such as ICS 100, 200, 700, and 800. So I think that kind of, even though it's not as many years of experience as probably as you're looking for, it does at least get you some years of experience under your belt in the fire service. And you also understand that you have to have some kind of fire certification with TCFP, such as structure, marine, or ARF, to be able to get that. So we're not giving some kid who's coming right out of the academy the chance to get this certification. So does that answer some of your questions?
So that does. Thank you. Now that you're saying that, I do remember that we did have that discussion, and to take it one step further in regard to the years of service, you cannot get fire officer unless you have fire instructor. And our current rules say that you cannot get fire instructor until you've been a firefighter for 3 years. So that's where we're getting in a time frame Jim, if you will, if you were concerned about a time frame, we know we have to bare minimum 3 years just by the way our other certifications are set up. And again, all this is contingent on if you guys approve and the full commission approves that proposed rule when it comes out at your next meeting.
Two thumbs up, Pat. Thank you for the answer. And thanks.
Mr. Chair, I have a question for Pat, too.
Sure. Go ahead, Jason.
Pat, and you alluded to this at the beginning of this. We've got a lot of people, I know, in the Metroplex area that are blue card. Is that going to, if they have that, is that something y'all are looking at, the proof? And I guess you talked about the chief saying they had it, but that they've had it because the hours in blue card are 50 hours of classroom, 24 hours of simulation. So it's actually 74 hours total.
I don't remember, and I'm, Cliff, you may be able to look in that proposed rule if there was a provision for reciprocity with blue card. I'm not certain that there was, but that provision during that first year, that grandfathering period, the fire chief would certainly use the blue card certification to recommend that his people be approved for the TCFP certification.
Sure.
And whether or not you want to make it a true reciprocity, I think that's something that our committee could certainly look at and amend that upcoming rule change.
Hey, Pat, let me look. I got to look at an email right quick, and I'll let you know what the proposal says.
Okay. Again, just a reminder, everyone, this is what we're talking about is the certification. What's on your agenda is the curriculum.
I don't have a problem with the curriculum. It's a great step forward.
And I'm wearing my firehouse lawyer hat, and it's okay to be discussing both right now because they're related to the agenda item.
Okay. Also, as a point of note, some of you may be seeing this. The Austin Fire Department has obviously weighed in support of the incident commander curriculum. Also, the Dallas Fire Department is joining Austin in supporting this as well, and they find it beneficial to the organization.
Chief Deer, I can read those comments for the record.
If you don't mind, that'd be great.
Thank you. I was just waiting for an opportunity to cut in. So Brandon Wade states, the Austin Fire Department supports the new curriculum. This will assist in applying a minimum standard and ensures basic understanding of incident command concepts. Also, the curriculum provides flexibility for agencies in developing a course. From Mark Henderson, I approve. Thank you for all of your hard work. And from Rich Casco, though I agree with the experience component, I would suggest not limiting it to structural firefighting. If private industry would like to leverage this certification, you may have someone who is only a member of a technical rescue or hazmat team that has years of experience. And I believe that is all the comments with regard to this item number.
Okay. We'll give it just another minute in case somebody else wants to weigh in with a comment.
Hey, Chief, do you, can I kind of, so this is Cliff again.
Yes, sir.
Jim and Pat, I'm sitting here looking at the proposed rule for the special temporary provision, which I think it's going to be in the rule. You got to hold a minimum of Fire Officer 2 certification through the commission and provide documentation of completion of the National Incident Management System courses 100, 200, 700, and 800, and provide documentation acceptable to the commission that the individual has successfully completed
incident commander training that meets the minimum requirements of the NFPA or the NFPA standard 1026, or provide documentation acceptable to the commission in the form of an affidavit from the individual's head of department or chief training officer that the individual has met the department's requirements to perform as an incident commander and has demonstrated proficiency as an incident commander. So what it's telling me is if this goes through, if you provide blue card documentation, that's acceptable to the commission.
Okay. Mr. Chairman, just another quick note. Before y'all's next meeting and before this proposed certification rule comes on your agenda, our committee will look at it once again to help determine the crossover between NFPA 1026 and blue card. We'll make sure of that and make sure that that's an acceptable solution.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, sir.
Comment, not a fan of blue card for the record. Thanks.
All right. Amanda, has there been anybody else that's weighed in on the chat, if you're following that?
No, just people checking in for HOD.
Okay. Does anybody have a motion?
I'll make a motion to accept the curriculum for the new incident commander.
Second.
Certification.
Seconded by Jim Reedy. Is there any further discussion? Amanda, are we good on the chat?
Yes, sir. And no questions that need to be answered.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, the motion passes.
Item number E, incident safety officer reference list.
Yeah, Ms. Chairman, I can speak to that.
Provision of the Jones and Bartlett manual to the third edition from the second on the reference page.
Okay, Pat, let's hear what Tara has to say, and then I'll let you chime in after she's done. Go ahead, Tara. Did you have something else to add?
Oh, no, that's it. That was just a revision to the third edition of the Jones and Bartlett manual.
Okay, go ahead, Pat.
Yeah, Tara is correct. The Jones and Bartlett did not come out with a fourth edition. They came out with a revised edition. There's very minimal changes to the revised edition compared to the third edition. When we spoke with the publisher, they did not feel that the content change was significant enough to impact our test questions. We will go back once we get our hands on those new books and make sure that our references in the new revised edition are updated for our questions. I just wanted to let everyone know that there is a difference between going from like a third edition to a fourth edition versus third edition to revised. So revised simply just means there's not a significant change, but the old third editions, they're not going to continue selling those once they run out. So that's why we're putting the change in our curriculum, is to help facilitate the future purchases, that it'll be congruent with what you're going to get from the publisher, and that is third edition revised.
Okay, any additional comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Daniel Anderson, I'll make a motion that we accept item E, incident safety officer reference list.
Second.
Any additional comment or discussion? Amanda, is anybody?
There's nothing in the chat yet.
Okay, that being said, all those in favor, say aye.
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 Does anybody oppose? Motion carries.
Item number five, review of 2019 data collected on firefighter injuries and development of recommendations to be submitted to the commission for approval and submission to the state fire marshal's office.
Good morning. Can y'all hear me? This is Grace.
Yes, Grace. We see you and your cat.
Good morning.
Okay, good morning. Let's see. I can actually turn my... No, I can't. You'll just have to hear me. Okay, so I'm Grace Wilson. I'm the Public Information Officer for the Texas Commission on Fire Protection. And I'm the administrator of the injury reporting program. And so every year we do the injury report, which we submit to the state fire marshal's office. And this year we're presenting it to you for review before the commission sees it in July. And we can go through it slowly if you want, or if you've already reviewed it, I can take questions. Just as a general statement, I would say that to me there were no surprises. It's pretty much the same kind of trends as we see every year. And generally, I'll draw your attention to one thing, page 511, if you want to go to that page of the meeting notebook. That's the page of the injury report where it says State of Texas versus NFPA at the top. And to me, this little page says it all. And while you'll see at the chart at the bottom, we have Texas 2019 and NFPA 2018. And Texas does really great on the fire ground compared to the rest of the country, with only 21% of our injuries coming from the fire ground. And then where we lag behind is in the non-fire category and in the other on-duty category. And to me, that's where we could probably see some improvement. But that's just my assessment. And if anybody has any questions about anything, please let me know. This goes to the commission, like I said, next month in July, and they are to submit some recommendations, general recommendations for the Texas Fire Service. So if you have any recommendations for the commission, that would probably help them out.
Hey, Grace, this is Daniel Buford. I think you did a great job on the report. It looks great. I think you took back a lot of the notes we had from the past, and you really highlighted a lot of different things, and you put explanations on a lot of things. And so I just want to thank y'all for a lot of your hard work. And I see what you're doing out there on the PR side of things, pushing out updates and stuff like that. One thing that I'd just like to bring up is page 534, the cancer. I really do applaud the commission for putting out that the Senate bill that pushed it out there to make this presumptive, a reminder out there to those things. And I know that whenever y'all are going through to these conferences and y'all are out there working with these fire chiefs, I just think that we need to hammer into the mindset of these fire chiefs and these department heads that there's no longer sovereign immunity under this Senate bill that allows them not to report cancer through workers' comp. And that if a member of their fire department comes down with a case of cancer, allow them or push that individual to file the workers' comp so we can truly get, regardless of however it plays out in the court system or workers' comp or any of those things, But allow that individual to do that so we can truly get a true representation over of what cancer is in the Texas Fire Service, because this is still such a small number, and we see these cancer cases that are well above 19 cases here in the state of Texas last year. And so I think that for all those fire chiefs out there listening, that we've got to push our departments and our members to file workers' comp as soon as they get a cancer diagnosis, and then let workers' comp, let the city and the insurance agencies battle that thing out. But for the tracking of this, to see where we're truly seeing these causes, this is what we need for the future for firefighters to keep everybody safe. So thank you again, Grace.
Thanks, Daniel. No, I really appreciate your bringing that up. And just to reiterate that anything that is reported to workers' compensation should be reported on the injury reporting system. And regardless, you know, especially in the case of cancer, we really appreciate it when firefighters do report incidences of cancer in the injury reporting system, because it helps us, we'd rather get more accurate numbers. So if anybody needs help with that, you can definitely contact me. If you send an email to the info@TCFP email address that's on our website, it comes directly to me. So I'll definitely get it, and I can help you get that started.
Question, Mr. Chairman? Grace, did we have 100% reporting?
Probably not at the time that I ran these numbers, which was a couple of months ago. Usually what I do is before I make the final report to the commissioners in their July meeting, I run all of the numbers again to hopefully capture everything that was reported for 2019.
So a recommendation for us as far as the report goes is that before the final report goes to the commissioners, that there should be a notation of the amount, of an official notation of how many departments report or how many regulated entities reported. Not who, but how many, at least percentage-wise, so that we know. I mean, if we're at 99% or whatever, then we know that it's getting out and they're doing it. But if we're at 85%, then there's an issue, either in communication or education or just compliance. Another comment is on the back of what Daniel said about the reporting. And with the narrowing of the law now, somehow we're going to miss, if we have an influx of cancers that aren't covered under the law, they're not going to get reported, but we're still going to have that influx. Somehow we need to get to the fire departments or the fire chiefs and say, if it's not covered under the current workman's comp law, we still need to know, because if we have a cluster or a run of them across the state, how are we going to improve the law and the safety of the firefighters if we can't report that to the legislatures? Uncovered cancers need to be reported, just for the simple fact is we need to know. We need to know if something's causing it or there's something new in the industry or whatever. But we need to know those uncovered cancers or unlegislated cancers. And a real fear for me, because we already have underreporting because of the workman's comp situation across the state. That's just the reality of it. People are afraid to report or they don't report. But the other part of that is now the narrowing of the amount of cancers through legislation. I don't know how we're going to do that, but there should be mandatory reporting of firefighter cancers, period. If there's knowledge, then it should be reported to the commission, regardless of whether it's a workman's comp covered or not. So that's my spiel.
Thanks, Jim. I really appreciate that. Reiterating that again to the chiefs, because it's really important that we get more accurate numbers. And also appreciate your comment about how many departments reported, and I'll make sure to get that information and put it on the final report.
Hey, Grace, this is Vance. I got a quick question. A retiree, is there a certain time frame after he retires that they can still include him in account? Or her an account? If individual retires, let's say a year later, he comes down with a cancer diagnosis, is he counted within these reporting?
That's probably up to the individual department. Oh, could you mute your microphone? Anyway, that's probably reported by the individual department, and I don't think that we really control whether they report that or not. I mean, I suppose there's some wiggle room because you could say that they the cancer possibly developed while they were on the job, but if it's probably in their own procedures if they're making injury reports on retired personnel, I'm not really sure.
But to get a true history, I think we are missing a point there. I'm glad Vince brought that up because I'm sitting there steaming. I've got six guys that just reported retiree guys that have come down with cancer. I know what they did in their livelihood. They were great firefighters, and they definitely got something while they were fighting fire. So I think we're missing the history, and it can't really prove out what we need to prove out with everybody that's coming up with it if we don't look at the history of what's been before. I know things have changed. I know the materials have changed, but we've been losing guys. Now we're just now reporting. These guys have been dying from cancer way before we started reporting. So I think there's got to be something said for us reporting the guys. I don't know how many guys you sit there and you look at and they go, hey, I retired 2 years ago. I've got cancer. Oh, man. Okay. That's definitely they got it on the job. It's not something that they didn't get on the job. So I think we've got to have something in place. And I know you're doing a great job, Grace, and everybody at the TCFP is doing a great job. I just think that in order for us to actually get a good number on these guys, we need to really have a history report.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a few comments here?
Sure, go ahead, Chief.
First, I want to compliment the staff, and all I'm going to do is echo what many of you have already said. Grace and her team now, we've moved some people around, so there's actually three folks in public information now, and we've really stepped up our game as far as communicating with the fire service, specifically with the website and Facebook, and we're constantly trying to find ways to do more with that because, quite frankly, that's where we get beat up the most every time we do a survey. So I think you're already seeing that, and you're certainly seeing their commitment and their hard work in this injury report. In regards to some of the comments about the cancer reporting and capturing the retirees and all, I will assure you that when we come under sunset here in the next couple of months and for the rest of the year, that's going to be one of our focuses. It's in our self-assessment that was done before the end of the year last year. And we are limited by the statutory authority that we're given in regards to injury reporting. And if you don't remember how this happened in 2011, it was thrown on us. And over the last 9 years, we have developed this, and it has evolved to what you're seeing this year. And that's because of everybody's hard work and their ideas, and we've tried to make it better. But the reality is we just don't have the authority or the latitude to do a lot with this. And so one of our suggestions or requests to the legislature this time around is to give us the latitude to do a little more with this. Let us be able to work harder to identify some problem areas and increase some training in those areas more so than just recommendations. And also on the cancer reporting, we need to be able to do more to capture that. And hopefully we can include the retirees in that, or maybe they let us go back 5 or 10 years on that so we can capture that. But just know that from the staff side, from the agency side, we're doing everything we can with it. We're stretching our legislative authority to some extent, but we're stretching it for cause. And that is going to be brought up when we move forward in the sunset process.
Hey, Grace, this is Daniel Buford again. How are we doing? I guess this is going to be next year, but for COVID-19, how are we handling that as a commission right now?
Okay, that's a good question. And we have added to the injury report application in FIDO, we've added, what would you call it, an exposure category for COVID-19. So it should be fairly easy to find, and lots and lots and lots of people are reporting their exposures. So I feel like that's definitely something that's getting done at the department level, and that's great. But we are trying to capture that data, and we'll see what the numbers are at the end of the year or whenever it's over.
Thank you.
Grace, are they distinguishing between an exposure and an actual illness?
It's coming. Yes, I suppose. It's in the exposure category where the COVID 19 designation is being given, but for people who haven't been able to find it or didn't know that it was actually out there, don't feel like you have to go back and change your old injury reports, because people are using the descriptions and writing down that people were exposed to someone who had COVID-19 or whatever. And we are capturing that data. We're able to do a search and gather that and separately kind of slide it over into that category. So it's not a problem how people are doing it. As long as somewhere in the injury report it says COVID-19, we're getting it.
Is that a mandatory reporting for injury, the exposure to COVID-19?
It's not mandatory. The only thing that is technically mandatory is anything that is reported to workers' compensation.
If I could add to that again, and Jim reminded me of another point I wanted to make in my comments, that our compliance guys do a great job, and they're doing more as they work with the departments and stressing the importance of the injury reporting. And we hope to be back out doing compliance inspections this month. We're working through some challenges with that right now as we speak. But that will be one of the messages, is that we need to capture the exposures and the true positives that are occurring out there for future knowledge. So I appreciate Jim bringing that up, because I did want to comment on that.
Go ahead, Grace.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to say that it's actually really encouraging to me what I see coming through on the injury reports every day. Fire departments are really using the injury report, I think, as a tool for just documenting what's going on, even, you know, at the smallest level, just exposed to smoke at a fire or whatever. People are really using the exposure information, I think, to their advantage.
I have a quick question to the other panelists here, just because we have so many fire departments represented. I know in my organization, we've had more than 340 folks, I guess, quarantined, and more than 20 that have actually been sick and tested positive. And I know in my organization, we're doing a really good job of capturing all that data in hope of obviously getting federal reimbursement at some point. Are all of your departments doing a really good job of tracking COVID exposure and COVID illness for the panelists here?
Exposure-wise, my department's actually doing pretty good. I get if it's generated on a incident form, I get an automatic email that says my exposure was reported and covered, or, you know, counted in, or whatever you want to call it, documented. So, shoot, I've gotten probably 4 or 5 of those already. So,
are most of your departments tracking that stuff for hopes of being reimbursed by the federal government? Do I see a nodding head? Maybe a couple of you. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, just real quick to answer your question, on our side, we're a smaller department, obviously, but our HR department is the one that's keeping track of that, and they keep very close track on hours, who they've had contact with, all the exposures.
Okay. I'm just going to surmise, Grace, that that might be a subject next year that's pretty well defined by a lot of the departments. I think you'll get a lot of accurate reporting. At least that's my guess.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Okay. All right, other questions or comments and from the panelists or from the committee? And while we're doing that, if there's anybody else that's on the chat, if you want to add your questions in, it will give you a few seconds to get your questions or comments thrown.
We have a couple of comments in the chat and a couple of questions, so I'll get to those while other people chime in. So from Jim Schultz, this is a comment regarding the cancer reporting. You may get some pushback from city management not wanting to report a firefighter with cancer, active duty, or retired due to a fear of accepting responsibility and thus financial responsibility. Now we do have some open questions. Again, re-cancer reporting from Matthew Myers. What if a firefighter is diagnosed with cancer after leaving the department and did not retire? How long is required for reporting? I believe we should report anyway. So I'll leave you that up to you to answer.
Okay, sure. I'll be happy to talk about that a little bit. Like I've said before, the only thing that is required is anything that has been reported to Texas Workers' Compensation. So the departments that, I mean, I'll just leave it at that. However, if the departments voluntarily want to report things using our application, they're more than welcome to do so.
Okay, and another question, this one from Danny Anthony. Are we supposed to be reporting COVID-19 in injury reports? I know you kind of already touched on that, but I couldn't just jump in on every little one, so.
No, that's great. And the answer is, we appreciate it if you do, because we like to gather the data. So if you can, we encourage it. Again, only required technically if you're making a workers' compensation claim, but please do report it. We're just asking you to.
Hey Grace, I have a question. It's Daniel Buford. Whenever a department head goes to, or whoever's reporting from the department goes to, and they're reporting a cancer, and they're doing like the drop down boxes, is it possible for us to put in a box about department testing? Like, was this something that the department caught in their a cancer test provided by the department, or if it was that away? I know that whenever we see stuff like that, and for a lot of fire departments, nobody wants to reinvent the wheel. But if a fire chief is reading next year's report and we have an influx of cancers and they see that a percentage of those cancers were caught by department testing, maybe that will encourage them to further bring that information to their city, try to get their city to fund some kind of cancer or cancer testing for their individuals. So I was just curious if that's something that is possible to add in there. It may never be clicked on by a department reporting it, but if it is simple as putting down a drop down box, maybe something to look into.
If Grace, let me jump in here. I need to just to speak to that. We're not able to have any identifying information in there. So that would be coming really close to identifying each department or any individuals there. So I think it's a great point, and it would be a great educational tool moving forward, but I don't believe it would be possible in the system we have right now, because it would directly violate our statutory authority.
Thanks, Chief.
So I have a question, Wisco. So we're making a recommendation for the report to go to the commissioners or their final, whatever they're going to send to the legislature. Is that the way this works?
We're asking you guys to make recommendations. This report will be shared by the statutory authority. It gets shared with the state fire marshal's office. That's the only place we're required to send it. But as I said earlier, we're moving forward through the sunset process, sharing a lot of this and asking for more authority.
So in that vein, I saw that Grace put on there, notify departments about mandatory cancer reporting or something to that effect. Is that correct, Grace?
Yes.
Notify all fire departments that reporting cancer diagnosis is now mandatory. In an effort to better inform the legislature and the state fire marshal's office, I think that we should recommend that somehow we capture the reporting of all firefighter cancers.
Yeah.
Or all regulated personnel. And so because our statutory authority is not complete in that, can we put that as a recommendation in here?
We certainly could. And that'll be a recommendation that staff, and I'm sure the chairman will carry forward through the sunset process. So it wouldn't hurt to have the recommendation included in this.
So do you need a motion to that effect, or can I paraphrase it, or whatever you, Mr. Chairman of the big boss, whatever you want to do?
I think it'll need to be in the form of a motion. If we want to add those comments as we forward this to the commission.
So will one of you smooth talkers help me out with that?
I thought you were the smooth talker.
So Grace, can we modify that statement to, or add to that statement to say, notify that cancer reporting is mandatory, and then put another one in there that we believe that something to the effect that in order to better inform the legislature about how many firefighter cancers we have or cancer in the fire service, we believe that all firefighter cancers should be reported.
Yeah, sure. On that recommendations page, incidentally, which is page 538, in case anybody wants to look at it, Jim is talking about number 2 at the top of the page that says recommendations for program improvement. Now, all of that stuff that's highlighted in yellow, that was the commission's recommendations from last year. I just have it highlighted because obviously we need new recommendations for this year.
Sharing that screen now.
So Grace, I have it's probably an ignorant question, but I know when a member leaves a department, by the commission notation, they become an individual certificate. So their department is no longer tracking their employee, or somebody who has either retired or left the department and is in an individual status, that they could report their own cancer?
That's a good question. I'm not sure if they can. I would assume that they can, but that's a good question. I don't really know.
Because I know, and I'd like to hear some of the comments from some other folks that are in attendance here, but I mean, I know there's some individuals out there that have worked for numerous fire departments, maybe 5 or 6 different agencies, and maybe they're in between jobs at the moment, or they left the fire service and they're going to return at some point, or maybe they don't. What do we do with somebody who's only worked 2 years in the fire service and then they went on to another career? You know, I'm just trying to think of my organization. We've had folks that have been terminated or left our organization and we have no idea where they're even at. So to report that would be nearly impossible unless they came back to the department and were trying to file a workers' comp claim, in which case the statute addresses that. I was just trying to think of how would they be able to report it on their own. I just don't know if that's something worth looking at or if that's even feasible.
Yeah, that's a good point. And a lot of this cancer reporting stuff is it doesn't really fit into the boxes that we initially created for injury reporting, because at first we were like, is it an injury, or what is it? And even now, unless it's reported to workers' compensation, you know, people don't even technically have to report it. So the cancer is curious because it's such like a long-term thing and it can present itself much later down the line. And like people have brought up, it could happen at retirement and how are we going to get accurate numbers? And I don't know, honestly, how we would capture all of that data. It's almost as if cancer reporting should maybe be separate from injury reporting in a way. And it could be, I don't know what the answer is, but they're good points, and I'm glad we're bringing it up and having a discussion about it because maybe that needs to evolve.
Mr. Chairman, I would think that could be another recommendation. Right now, the way this is set up is just for departments to report. There's no way for an individual to get into FIDO to report anything like that. Again, it's all tied to that workers' comp report. So an individual would not be able to make that unless they went through their department. So that could be a recommendation moving forward, and it's probably something we're going to have to beg for the authority to be able to mandate.
Don't most people, when they leave, they retire, don't a high percentage of those guys, don't they don't report anymore, they don't pay their certification anymore, they go off the chart. So I mean, where does their data go? I mean, is it, because I know I was trying to look a couple of guys up that I know from years gone by, and they've been retired and their data's gone. I couldn't find it. So I'm just asking, because that's one of those deals. As far as reporting on, it's going to have to be a thing of individual fire departments, I would think, are going to have to come together and actually, if they want to approach this thing, we're going to have to go in and draw the numbers and come back for the last 20 years for a history report. And I know that may not make sense to a lot of people, and I'm not talking about for the purpose of trying to get any money. I'm talking about trying to save our future firefighters. And that is from just the history report of these guys having this particular cancer, this cancer, this cancer, this cancer, and all these guys were involved in this particular type of situation, and drawing from that.
Yeah, so I can only really speak to your first question, which was about once you retire, once you leave the system, once your account or your information goes dormant, it starts to filter out. We did a little research a couple months ago and ballparked that we could probably go back as far as 5 years and capture some people, but the rest just goes dormant after that, and we lose it from the system. Again, I think your point to capturing that is good, but you have to realize we're limited in our authority, so we have to try to grow this through the legislature. And it's certainly going to take more than my ugly face sitting in front of them to get them to give us that authority.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a motion?
I'm willing to accept it.
But you're afraid.
Never.
So, as a addition to the recommendations number one and number two, and number three, that in order to better inform the legislature about firefighter cancer, all regulated entities report all firefighter cancers.
Okay. Any additional comments?
Need a second?
This is so your second.
Did you second it, Daniel Buford?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Any additional comments?
Chief, this is Vince. Just to clarify that is all cancers, even those that are not reported through workers' comp, correct?
Even those that currently don't qualify as workers' comp or legislative, that aren't reported through the legislature. Because we know a lot of work-related cancers don't get reported for fear of the workman's comp system. pure and simple.
You're exactly right. That's why I want to clarify that, that all cancers, regardless of the report or not, to the workman's comp are going to be counted. Correct. Thank you.
So, Jim, you have three amendments to this. Is that correct? There were three items that I understand that you had?
Just this one? That was the only one for me.
Oh, just the only one?
Yeah. Okay, maybe Buford has another one.
Okay. Do we need to repeat that motion so everybody's clear? Or is everybody good?
And that doesn't close.
Everybody good to vote?
That doesn't close this item. It's just that it's one part of it, right?
Right. Okay. Seconded. All those in favor, say aye.
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 All those that oppose. Okay, the motion carries.
Chief, this is Vince again. Just to for future reference, I would like to hopefully discuss how to capture some of the retirees. Maybe put a time frame after they retire, or some way that we can capture them, because I think it's very vital to these numbers. And so I just want to put that in consideration.
I would agree with you. I think the dilemma will be, how did we do that? Who would be responsible for doing that? I mean, if you and I retired tomorrow, how would our departments know where we are if we all both moved to Montana? How would they track that, and how would they be responsible for it? They wouldn't. So I think that's a viable discussion, but I think that we still need to vet that out quite a bit on how that would occur. Any other comments?
I think that once somebody retires, though, they might be a little more motivated to report that as an individual. So we could accept those in some fashion, or log them in some fashion. Of course, you can't mandate people to do that, but at least we can accept firefighter cancer diagnoses post-retirement up to a certain period. And if the record keeping period is 5 years for the commission, then they can report up to 5 years after their retirement. I mean, we'll capture important data. I mean, because if you retire tomorrow and all of a sudden next week you get a cancer diagnosis, well, hell yes, you got it on the job. So, I mean, we should be able to capture that. I don't think that's, I just think you're going to go to the individual consciously reporting it, but most guys that I talk to that get it after they leave, they want a way to report it. So,
why is that limited to 5 years?
Well, only because Wisco said that's what their record keeping going backwards was. So,
it's just when somebody's file becomes dormant, there's no activity on it, it eventually gets worked out of the system. It never really goes away, but it doesn't appear. You wouldn't be able to do a search and find them. We follow the state's record retention piece, but I mean, with all technology, eventually, if it's dormant too long, it's most likely lost somewhere.
Well, and I agree, guys. I mean, we need a way to do it. Like I said, but that surely is going to take on a life of its own. I was thinking it'd be pretty easy to say when they report it, you know, maybe they report what fire departments they were with, for how many years were they with them, you know, maybe in what capacity, you know, what report, maybe what type of cancer they might have gotten. But again, you know, that could, again, could get really cumbersome, I think, to record it. And then, you know, without their personal information, then how are we going to know, you know, that case was reported? They forget, now they try to report it again, now we get duplication, or, you know, like I said, it looks like to me it surely takes on a life of its own. Very important, and I agree 100%. We need a way to capture that, because I think there's a lot of firemen that are out there today. I think what Chief Swindle said a while ago, those four or five that he's got out there, do they even have a way to report it if they're no longer associated with the fire department? So I think y'all are all over. I don't know how to fix that.
I can speak to that a little bit as the RMO. our old records retention schedule did hold that out to be 5 years, but as far as I'm aware, we don't purge anybody's information after that 5-year period. So it wouldn't be possibly searchable in a public way, but internally, we should be able to dig that out again. Now, if people retire and they don't keep their certifications up, if they don't pay for their recertification every year, then they will become expired. So they won't show up in public searches on our website. However, that does not mean that their information has fallen off on our databases, on TCFP's databases. So it's still searchable. If I may suggest that maybe we do something where we can make retirement an option, or retired an option rather than just later expired, that might help kind of walk us to a better solution in this instance, but that's a bigger change than I can speak to making, so.
So Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion then, because all we're doing is making motions to put recommendations to the commissioners on there, correct?
Right.
Okay, so I make a motion that a way to record retired firefighter cancer is researched.
There is a comment from an attendee. Let's see. Richard Sisk. He recommends a link be created on the FIDO site for retirees to self-report. They could be verified as retirees based on FIDO info in the system.
I'll second Jim's. This is Buford. I'll second Jim's motion.
We ought to just copy and paste the suggestion onto the recommendations. So, and as far as discussion goes, that wording is perfect for me.
Okay, Deb, do you have the motion in the second all recorded accurately, or do you need that clarified?
I have the motion. I don't have a second.
I think Daniel Buford seconded it.
Okay, got it. Then I got it. That's fine.
Okay, so you have the motion, and we have a second. Any other discussion? Any further discussion? Amanda, is anybody else weighing in from the peanut gallery with comments?
No,
Mr. Chairman, just one quick note. Can we expand that to include individuals, not just retirees, so we don't lose them if they don't retire, if they go to a different department?
Yeah, I have heartburn on that too. What do y'all think about that, those of you that made the motion? Because, you know, if you have somebody that hires on at the age of 20 and by the age of 30 they leave and they go somewhere else, why would we omit them? They didn't retire, they just left the department. Why would we not capture that? Does that sound accurate to you guys to just change that wording?
Sounds good to me. How do you classify that person, though? How do we classify them now?
You're talking about the designation of either a firefighter or a retiree?
Individual certificate holder, either an individual certificate holder, a retiree, or how do we classify that person who works for 5 or 10 years and then leaves the fire service? And we still don't regulate them. They've gone to another job, another firefighter job.
I think the short answer to that, they would just be a former firefighter.
So those three classifications should be included in there.
So, but they would be separate classifications, correct? So you really get a good view of what we're looking at here. Because I agree with you, Jim, on that. I mean, that's the difference there. A guy goes someplace else and maybe he gets into something at that new job. But I want to see what these guys, and like I say, if you want to do that, that's great, and I don't disagree, but I would like to see the classification of the retiree in there. Whether it does, you do two or three different classifications, I don't care.
Hey, so I'll accept all those friendly amendments.
Yes, someone from the chat has chimed in to also reiterate the former certificate holder as an option.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
I was thinking firefighters. So the men, women that have served in those roles, it wouldn't matter if they were retired or had just left the service. Former would include both of those. Would that be accurate?
I would think it is.
I would say retirees should stand out there by itself. Former is good, and that class that qualifies everybody else. And then also individual certificate holders that aren't working for regulated entities. I'd like to better identify all three rather than lump them all into former, especially when it goes to the commissioners. And if it goes farther for any kind of consideration or legislative whatever, we need to include all those people rather than just lump them, single them out instead of lumping them in. So just my take.
Yeah, I would agree. The more check boxes that we have, probably the better. You know, the more information we gather, I guess, is what I'm saying. Because you know that's going to be the next question. Okay, so how long have they been retired? How many years were they in the fire service? All of those are going to be the next questions when we start capturing that data and then trying to figure out how relative it is to the real issue. And without more boxes or more questions and breaking those apart, whether they're retired, which would give you the indication that they've been in the fire service for an extended period of time versus someone that's recently left and maybe it was only in the fire service a few years. I think that would help you get some better detail by the more options that we have.
And you know, this is just our recommendation to the commissioners for the report. So who knows what's going to happen. So.
Okay. So do we need to make an amendment to the motion or are we good with the way the motion is now?
Maybe we should have Deb read it back with all the amendments.
Okay with that, Deb?
I think that might be harder to read back than just to get it all in print and have it ready for the commission meeting. We've got, all of us are taking notes here and we've captured it all, but it's going to take a while to pull all this together. And I have to remind you again, these are recommendations you're sending forward and ultimately these would all have to be granted to us in authority by the legislature. So it's more important that we capture it for that sunset discussion. But we will have it captured and be able to report it for the commission meeting in August.
I guess my question is, we're getting ready to vote on this motion. So I just want to make sure everybody's clear on what we're voting on.
Well, and I think in a nutshell, we want three. We're recommending that somehow or another we get the authority to have three categories, which are retiree, former firefighter, individual firefighter. To capture cancer matters. And if I'm wrong in that, somebody correct me. I'm sure you will.
I would add, sorry, to say that the recommendation should also include TCFP developing a method for these individuals to self-report.
Well, yes, that's where all this is headed. We have to get the statutory authority to do that. But that's the ultimate goal, but that's the breakdown that I think the committee members are looking for.
Mr. Chairman, can I make a recommendation that the TCFP create an avenue for retired individual and former certificate holders to report a diagnosis of cancer when no longer associated with a regulated agency provided proper documentation?
Just add retired to that.
Yes.
Guys, you're saying the same thing twice, and I'm going to tell you again, right now, today, we do not have the authority to do that. We cannot do that. That will not be possible to do. These recommendations, and I will say this again in front of the commissioners, these are all great recommendations, and we will carry that forward in sunset, but we cannot mandate any of this today, and we do not have the authority to add any additional reporting mechanism like that right now.
And I agree, but this is a recommendation for the report to recommend to the fire marshal and whoever other sees it. So I feel you're not saying it shouldn't be included in the report, right?
You're muted, Mike. Can't hear you, Mike.
All right. I agree with what you're all saying. We've said it four different ways, five different times. I just need to make sure you understand these are simply recommendations and that no action will be able to be taken by TCFP until we are granted the authority through the legislature.
Yeah, I'm clear. I'm clear with that. Yeah. Just a recommendation that we put it to them that this is kind of what we'd like to see, and that we ask that they give TCFP the authority to gather the data.
All right, great. I'm just want to make sure nobody leaves here expecting to see this tomorrow, because we can't do it.
Do we really even need to have a motion and a vote, or is this just our additional comments that we're adding to the report?
No, these are just comments, and like I said a while ago, we're capturing all of it, and we'll Deb has it, Grace is going to have it, and we'll make sure at the August meeting that it is all on the record again for them, and it's in writing. But there's really no motion here. I mean, this is an opportunity for you guys to see this report and make recommendations or comments moving forward, but there's no action here.
So Deb, you're good on all the recommendations that everybody's been voicing? Okay, thank you.
Yes. Okay.
Okay, well, any other comments or questions on this item number five?
Chief, this is Vince, I've got one. Once again, Grace, I think you did an awesome job with this reporting system. But, you know, when you look at this deal, is there any plans of letting departments know the final outcome of some of this reporting? To give an example, we've done a real good job of reducing the number of fire suppression injuries. But if you look at station duty, skills training, and wellness and fitness over the last, since 2015, those have increased quite a bit. And I do know we have more firefighters, but when you look at this report and seeing what we can do better for the fire service, I think emphasis needs to be placed in those three areas, looking at this reporting. Station duty, skills training, wellness, and fitness have all increased in the last 4 years of injuries. So I think that that's something we need to take a look at and see what we can do better, either through a commission. Hey, by the way, that we're having these issues within our state. So I was just noticing those numbers.
Hey, Vince, 100% agree with you. And like you said, this has sort of been a trend here in Texas, and we've been talking about this for a few years now. And I mean, ultimately, I think it's comes down to the department level, like what kind of training or interventions need to happen with wellness and fitness and station duties and things like that to make it a little bit, get some safer practices going. And in the recommendations from the Health and Wellness Committee last year, they talked about that as being kind of low hanging fruit for departments. And, you know, I'm certainly open to suggestions if people want us, the commission, the TCFP, to somehow do more, I don't know what, social media, some kind of outreach in that regard, we can do that. But how to get the individual departments to take steps to reduce injuries in those areas is a good question.
Any additional comments?
Mr. Chairman, just one quick thing. I want to reiterate what everybody else has said as far as Grace getting the report done. You might have to refresh my memory. Last year, didn't we have discussion on recommending the commission doing like a monthly training program based on the information that we brought back from the injury reports, so the regulated agencies could get on the website and download that training or use it in their departments?
My recollection is that we were not going to be responsible for that. We were throwing that to the Health and Safety Committee.
Okay, that's where I was remembering.
Was going to develop those. And I think that's a recommendation, if you don't mind noting, Deb, that I'll throw in there, because I serve on that committee, and I'm not under the impression right now that committee realizes that that was the genesis for their development, was to take this injury report, identify issues and concerns that are clearly documented as trending, or especially trending up, and to develop and to recommend training that could impact those injuries and health concerns for the future. So I think I'd like to reiterate to the commission with our comments for them to pass along to the Health and Safety Committee to address this report and to make recommendations back to both curriculum and testing and to the advisory committee on continuing education for the future that could impact our health and safety. Does that sound accurate to the rest of you, how we all originally started doing that? Chief Collier, does that resonate with you that's what we had started?
Yes.
And so, Deb, if you don't mind making that note as a comment, I just think that the timing of this will work out better for that committee as well. Anything else on item 5? Okay, I guess we'll close out item 5, Chief Schmidt.
Item 6, public comments.
We do have a public comment going back a little earlier from Danny Watkins, San Benito Fire Department. His question is TCFP planning on going to a Zoom format, I guess, going into the future so that chief officers across the state can be kept informed through attendance via Zoom, as most simply cannot drive the hundreds of miles to attend these meetings. I think it would be a great avenue to be more informed and for TCFP to get better input from the vast knowledge across the state.
Chief Wiska, I'll let you weigh in on this. Obviously it's not a bad idea, but we're already live on Facebook and the meeting is being streamed. So what does staff feel like the future would be for folks to listen to what we're saying?
I'm not sure why I have to weigh in. I think you're picking on me because I'm fat. But to speak to the issue, we constantly are trying to determine more ways to improve how we communicate with the fire service. That is a recurring theme in our surveys every time. And so we stepped up our game a little bit by broadcasting this on Facebook. We're working to actually live stream future meetings through Facebook, and we had started trying to develop a plan for that, and then the COVID virus got in our way. But we're constantly looking for ways to do better. This will certainly be considered moving forward, and it's all limited by our capabilities, whether through technology or through staff. And I'll remind you, there's only 29 people that even work here, and there's a lot more going on right now than sometimes we can keep up with. So we're trying.
Well, and I'll commend you and the staff. I know there's a lot of people even in the shadows there that are helping, such as Mo, that have had to certainly get out of their comfort zone and in unprecedented times to develop an avenue that we could even have this meeting. So I think this has already been a successful meeting to start with, other than the fact that we don't have bathroom breaks.
You control that. You can take a break. But I will tell you that we spent 2 weeks trying to prepare for this, and I've got the scars from Mo beat me over the head to help me understand how to use this. And now 2 hours into this, I'm better at using Zoom than I ever was. And the more we do this, the better we'll get. It is cumbersome. I think it's becoming a way of life. I think we're gonna be in this situation for quite a while to come. If you believe everything you see in the media, So we are striving to get better at our communication, and this could be another avenue.
I guess the dog agrees.
Mr. Chairman, I have a quick question.
Yes.
Just a curious, how many people are attending this Zoom meeting?
Well, so I can see 63 participants on Zoom, and we're up to 22 on Facebook. Now, that Facebook number has fluctuated throughout the meeting, but we're seeing a pretty good number. I mean, you don't normally have 60 people sitting in a meeting for the advisory committee here in Austin. So this has improved that format. And we had a lot of discussion about that when we were setting this up, just how many would take advantage of it. So clearly, I mean, we're pushing 80 at some point of this meeting, up or down from there. So we're reaching a good number.
That's good news.
I'm not seeing any more comments or questions from the attendees. I've scrolled back all the way to the beginning, so unless you guys want me to start reading off the people that checked in for HOD, I could do that.
I don't see a need for that unless somebody else does. You have that documented, so that's not a problem. Okay, so any other public comments? Anything else? I see a couple other chat messages popping up, Amanda, but it's just questions directed to you guys.
I'm not seeing anything after Brent Thetford. Oh, hold on. Yes. Have I been confirmed as attending? I believe you have, sir. Okay. Yes. South May.
Duly noted.
Fire Department.
I think we're clearing a lot of those HOD required attendances today. So.
It's always good to have more fire chiefs out there, Jim. It's always good.
We do have one more comment from Richard Sisk. This was a very educational meeting. Thank you. From Gregg County ESD 2.
All right, sir, are you ready to move on then to item number 7, subject just, future agenda items?
One more question. Will the attendance be a part of the official minutes?
Yes.
All right, Chief Schmidt, go ahead.
Yes, sir. Item number 7, subject for future agenda items.
Does anybody have anything?
I have one, and it goes back to Chief Lisco. In our original March meeting, we had put on there to discuss Chapter 435, firefighter safety. They would put that back on the agenda for our next meeting?
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
And so let me, this is a good time for me to speak to this. Because of this unusual or new format that we've used today, and we had so much to do under a timeline with the testing and curriculum updates, that's why we limited this agenda in hopes that the next meeting will be in person and we could have an expanded agenda again.
Oh, I realize that. I'm just making sure we got it back on there for the next one.
What was that for, Jason? I don't remember.
It covers some of the compliance.
Oh, that's right. The compliance worksheets, right?
Say again, Jim.
The compliance worksheets, was that what it was?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Okay. That and the site visits.
Yeah.
Okay, any other future agenda items? Okay.
Then future meeting dates, item number 8.
Well, we already have it on the calendar, but I guess we won't know what the how the game plan will be until we get closer to that date. Is that true, Chief Wisco?
True. Yeah, I'm going to let Nav speak to it.
Yes, that's true. It's currently scheduled for September 17th.
September 17th.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully we'll all meet back in person in Austin. That's the plan right now, right? We should be planning for that.
Correct.
We'll find out if we'll have to cancel it and go back to this format.
Correct.
Okay, before we move to item number 9, I just want to take just a second to recognize, so y'all are aware, Daniel Anderson just had a baby yesterday or the day before?
On the 9th.
When?
Tuesday?
Well, yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Proud papa.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
Okay.
Item number 9, Chief, adjourn meeting. Yes.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Jim and Daniel Anderson. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Anybody oppose? Okay, motion carry. This will conclude the meeting. I don't see a time. I guess it's just after 11 o'clock.
11:05.
Thank you, everybody. Appreciate everybody's patience. For those of you that can't weigh in, that you're coming through chat, we appreciate you. 60-plus participants is impressive, and I hope you bared with us under these trying times. So thank you. Hopefully we can learn by it and make it better the next time if we have to do it this way.
And well done to the TCFP staff.
Yeah. Absolutely. Chief Wisco, thank your staff. This worked out very well, and I appreciate everybody doing what they're doing.
Thank you.
Everybody stay safe out there. We appreciate it. Great job, TCFP. It's good. Worked out good.
Thank you.
I'm about to end this thing because I got the power.
Yeah.
Do it.
Thank you, guys. Be careful.
All right.
Okay.